The lesson this morning is entitled, Making Biblical Disciples. Making Biblical Disciples. Oftentimes people will tell you this is how you need to go about being a stronger Christian. What we're going to see this morning is the progression that someone should make as they grow to being an efficient and effective Bible disciple. First, we have to start with the gospel. In the gospel, we find that Christ saves us. The gospel breaks down into the word good news. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, we read, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus." When we look in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, what we read is, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Because God has provided salvation for us through His everlasting love, we have an opportunity to go from being unholy to being holy, to be in the sight of the holy God. For if we are unholy, we can't be in communion with God. It's not possible. But God provided a scheme of redemption that allows us to have our sins washed away so we can once again have a relationship with Him." There we go. So what are the steps of salvation? It may be hard to read, but we see that God had His part. God sent His Son. Jesus shed His blood, and His spirit was revealed to the world. Then there was man's part. He had to hear about Jesus, hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was raised from the dead, repenting of your sins, as Luke 13:3 states, where Jesus said, "Repent or likewise perish." That means from living a worldly life to turning a 180 and living life for God. Then there's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Baptism, where we come in contact with the blood of Christ to walk in a newness of life, is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. And then there's remaining faithful, living the best life that there is to live, and then spending an eternity with God the Father. If we're going to be soul winners, we have to be saved. The church, Christ unites us. We will all stand before God on the day of judgment as individuals. But here on earth, we can work together in a team effort so that if a brother falls down, we can pick him up and continue to strive for the goal that's laid ahead for us. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." We can stand strong. We can stand firm. Our enemies sometime are angered with us. But it should not be because of something we've done. It's realizing that they're in error and they can't stand upon their own beliefs. I love being a New Testament Christian. I don't have to come up with anything. Someone asks a Bible question, we turn to the Scriptures to find the answer. How do you become a Christian? We go to the Scriptures. How do you worship God? We go to the Scriptures. How do you live a Christian life pleasing to God? We go to the Scriptures. Hebrews 10:24. We often go to Hebrews 10:25 to talk about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. But we'll look at Hebrews 10:24 and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. When we come to worship, our focus is on God. But as we're singing, we teach and admonish. We have a responsibility to look out for those around us. When we come to worship, we come to give praise to Almighty God, to remember the sacrifice that Christ made, and to work with one another, to love one another, to lift one another up, and to help each other as we go through the trials of this life. This is a part that I really like. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters. In all purity. Those of you who are younger, you have a responsibility to be respectful to everyone around you, even if they're disrespectful to you. We need to speak to older men as a father with respect. There's a time and place to rebuke if need be, but it never means to belittle someone. And if we're talking to someone who's our age or younger, deal with them gently as a brother, continuing to tell the truth. And the same goes for dealing with older women as well as younger women, dealing with them in all purity. Young guys, that's dating. Young girls, that's dating. We consider how we deal with one another. It should be to aid someone we're talking to, Christian or non-Christian, to be upright citizens of the kingdom so that nobody can say anything against us. There we go. More seasoned Christians. It's not only the younger people that have a responsibility. You also have a responsibility. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 2, verses 2 through 8. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They're to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. I particularly like this little picture of a cycle. Being young, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of things that we can do and go out and be effective in. But there's not much wisdom. And then we have more seasoned brethren whose knees are not what they used to be, whose backs aren't what they used to be, but through years of diligent Bible study, they have wisdom. The church is meant to work together in a cycle. What we see is the younger members helping to invigorate and energize our more seasoned members, and our more seasoned members sharing wisdom to the younger members. As those younger members grow up, they grow in their Bible knowledge and are able to do the same for the generation that falls behind them. When we see this cycle going effectively through a congregation, you will see a congregation that is alive, vibrant, and being with biblical disciples. Sanctification. Christ grows us. Christ grows us. Sanctification, if we're going to define our terms, is to be set apart for sacred use, or to make holy, to purify. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. We have some brethren today that feel they can toe the line as close as they possibly can to sin and that be acceptable to God, and say, well, I haven't crossed over that line. The goal of a Christian shouldn't be to toe the line. We should be looking to be set apart, to be different than the world that is about us. We'll look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. When we obeyed the gospel, we should have died to our old self to live a life solely focused on God. Oftentimes, people will ask, I know the elders, they'll ask ministers, what's God's will for me? What is God's will for me? And the response that I always give is say, lay out your options. Whichever option you have, that you'll be able to serve God more effectively, be able to share the gospel more effectively, grow in your faith more effectively, that is the will of the Father. The will of the Father isn't going to be taking a job to miss services. The will of the Father isn't going to be doing something that's going to stagnate your Christian growth. The will of the Father is always going to be for you to grow, for you to be effective, and you to be a positive influence on those who are around you. When we look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Our focus should always be upward. With our actions that we take, we should always be seeking to be pleasing to God. In Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. When we take our focus off of God, when we stop studying our Bibles, the devil finds a way to let things creep in. Temptations become more difficult to turn away from. We fall into sin. And it's not surprising that we eventually find ourselves not attending services as much as we used to. You know, there's football games, there's soccer games, there's picnics, there's times to go out and do different things. And we find that allowing those temptations to come in and taking our focus off of God leads us to straying from God's Word and the life that God would have us to live. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8, keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I love the book of Leviticus. I love the book of Leviticus because what we see, God through His promises has made a great nation of people, through miracles led them out of Egypt, and now has to give them a law so He can continue to keep His promises to bring Jesus into the world. He gives them specific laws. And some people today will say, well, God will just accept me as I am. That's not the God of heaven. That's the God of that people have created in America. We see a God that has always demanded obedience. We see what was written here from the pen of Moses. It's the statutes of God and keeping them that set them apart. People could see the worship that was being done with the people of Israel, and it was very different than the worship of those of the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, and on and on. It was very different. There was child sacrifice in some of those religions. There were other types of things that definitely aren't pleasing to God. And the worship that the Israelites gave was different. The worship that we give to God today is different as well. People should know how, by how we worship and how we live our lives, that we are different, we are sanctified, and we are set apart. Do the people that surround you on a daily basis know that you're a Christian? If they do, that's fantastic. You keep up the great work. But if they don't, it's time to make some changes. To be the most effective person you can be for God, make changes to be set apart as the Bible would have us to be. The mission. Christ sends us. If we're going to be biblical disciples, we need to be a people who are ever ready to get up and ever ready to go. When we look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always. Christ has given us a mission. We're obedient to the gospel, and we must share that with those who are around us. Something similar is said in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, what we read is, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. God knew that people were lazy. God knew people were lazy. And we find people who carry the name of Christ today who are lazy in their work for the Lord. If we're going to be diligent, we need to be those few. There are false teachers who come into our community and share what they believe is the gospel with people that are searching for God, leading them into apostasy, already unsaved, being told a lie. We as Christians, who can defend everything that we believe with the Bible, should be the ones out finding these lost souls that are desiring to be right with God. It must be us. We must be energized, ready to give service for God. If we're going to be biblical disciples, that takes effort. You can't be a biblical disciple, come to services three times a week, and that be it. Say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. No. Anybody can show up somewhere and sit for a couple hours, three times a week. It is a lifestyle. That's the life of a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. I'm sure all of us could tell stories of door-knocking campaigns that led to no one visiting, people cursing us out for our beliefs, people saying all kinds of hurtful things. And unfortunately, people have a mindset, if something hurts once, I'm not going to do that again. In my work with the Brown Trail School of Preaching, I would do presentations for the school and let congregations know that we do door-knocking campaigns. And on one occasion, I remember, well, we did one of those 10 years ago and it didn't help. Well, good. I'm glad a community doesn't change and people don't move in over a 10-year span. We need to be actively, be it door knocking, be it radio, be it talking to friends, anything you can imagine, we should be striving to reach the lost. Are people going to dislike us for it? They may. But that doesn't matter. If we're living the Christian life as we should, they can say nothing against us, because we're only sharing the truth and we're living it as well. So we got a reflection for you to make. Where are you this morning? Where are you? You know, we see can't really see all of those, so we're going to zoom in here in a second, but here's a chart. We see a spiritual infant, an infant in Christ, lacking understanding. This can be a new convert or someone who obeyed the gospel and just never got around to studying more. We need to be working continually to grow. We don't need to stay a spiritual infant. There's a spiritual child growing in Christ, self-centered. We can find a self-centered attitude can be very bad for a congregation. Some people say, well, you know, I just don't like the singing, which Royce has done excellent on today, even if I can't type out correct numbers. When people focus on different things that really don't matter. The carpet, the seats, the lighting, the driveway, all of these different things. Basically what they're doing is they may be growing in Christ, but they're self-centered. Just as a child, eventually we'll grow out of that. We'll have spiritual young adults, ministers, Christ-centered, others-focused, continuing to grow, able to defend their faith, getting stronger. And then we have the spiritual parent, the biblical disciple. a parent is Christ-like, intentional, discipline maker, disciple maker. Someone who can effectively share the gospel. Someone who can go out and does this with their intent to seek and to save the lost. Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you the infant? You're a new convert, or you're just extremely weak? Are you the child? Self-centered? You're growing, but you know, you just, there's, I think things should be done this way. Are you the young spiritual adult? Christ-centered and others-focused, ready to serve those around you? Or are you the spiritual parent? That should be our goal. You know, we have some that can be 19 years old and be spiritual parents, and some that can be 99 years old and be a spiritual child. We should be striving forward, outward, every way possible to grow in our Christianity, to be effective in our community with our soul saving, and to be the best servants of God that we can be. We can't stagnate and be pleasing to God. You only get better or worse. You never stay the same. But you know, there's one more side, the left part of that slide. There's the dead, spiritually dead, the person who's lost. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel, no matter how nice of a person you are, no matter how many good works you have done, no matter how many people you have made smile, no matter how nice of a person you may be, if you're not obedient to the Word of God, you are not saved. I don't say that out of meanness or arrogance. I say we turn to the Scriptures and do as God would have us to do. If you're spiritually dead, fix that today. So, the conclusion. The title of the lesson was Making Biblical Disciples. Where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? It's something you're going to need to look in the mirror and find where you are and where do you go from here. Christ has prepared a way that will be successful. The gospel saves us. The church unites us. The life that is best for us is the Christian life. And the plan that will save others can be shared by Christians. Where are you? Where would you fall today? Are you a biblical disciple? If you're not, what would it take to get you there? We've got a lost world around here. But we have people that are searching for God. Let's do whatever it takes to be what God would have us to be. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one this morning. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was raised from the dead, if you are ready to repent of your sins, if you believe in Christ, if you're ready to confess Jesus as Lord and be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, I encourage you to do so. If you are a Christian and you haven't been the biblical disciple that you could be, and you need the prayers of the congregation to help strengthen and embolden you, let us pray for you and let us pray with you. If you're struggling with sin, as Chris said in class, private or public, if you need help, do whatever it takes to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.